Meeting order, start with salute to the flag. Pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, seeing there are no members of the public at the meeting tonight, I will entertain a motion to approve the November board meeting minutes.
Make a motion.
Motion by Guy.
Second.
Second by Charlie. Questions, alterations, deletions? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion's carried. Approve the November treasurer's report.
Make a motion.
Motion by Rich.
Second.
Second by Julia. Questions on the treasurer's report? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion's carried. Okay, we have no correspondence. We don't have any old business and we don't have any new business. Well, we do have some business though. So you all got the letter that said that we were not awarded the CBDG grant, which really pissed me off, but needless to say. I have an exit interview scheduled for January 12th, which is actually the day after our January board meeting. So I plan on doing the exit interview and then having a meeting with LaBerge to go over what options we have available, and then I hope to have a full report for the board in February. And then we'll figure out what we're gonna do.
Can we still use that other money?
The other money is yeah, and we have...
We have $22,456,764.
Right, we have that for the sidewalks and...
And so
paving
we can still
and
use
whatnot.
That. Well, that's good.
And so we have that, but we have time to use that because that has a longer lead time that you can spend the money than the CBDG would have had. I think the CBDG had 2 years, and this one had, and the sidewalk one, the $2.5 million is 3 years or something like that.
Can you refresh my memory on this CBDG grant?
That was for the $1.25 million that we were looking to get to do Chatham Street, replace the water main.
Okay. Got it.
So it had some other things in there too. And then actually when we got this $2.5 million grant, I think we only asked for like $1.1 million because we didn't need any more than that.
That was the TAP, Charlie.
Yeah, the TAP grant we got.
So what was the reason why, again, we didn't qualify for this?
Well, I won't know until I do the exit interview, which is I'm going to do on January 12th.
With LaBerge?
No, with the CBDG.
Okay.
I requested it as soon as I heard, but the earliest they gave me was January 12th. So I won't know until then, which is, like I said, is after the January board meeting. But that'll give me an opportunity to go over what they have to say and then go back and meet with LaBerge and come up with some options to present to the board so that, you know, we can all make a decision on how we want to proceed. And then we'll hash it around. It'll be in February at that point, but that'll be when we'll do it. Anybody have any new or old business they want to bring up?
The only thing that I'd like to make a suggestion is if the village could place some deer crossing signs over in our area on John Howard. It just seems that we have a lot of deer now roaming through everybody's yards and
and they're everywhere.
And I was hoping that, you know, we could put at least deer crossing signs or something, you know, not a lot, but, you know, at least one on John and one on Howard, and just to alert the people. I know people are respective and they're slowing down, but
yeah, I mean, the speed limit's only 25.
What's that?
The speed limit's 25 miles an hour.
Yeah, I know. I realize that. And, you know, people aren't doing 25 going up and down John Street. Yeah. I can tell you that. Yeah. It's just a suggestion.
All right. I'm sure Rich will take a look into that.
Yeah.
Anything else? So we had a meeting with Julia and the board and the building inspectors, mm-hmm. and Dave Gruenberg on the worked on starting to adopt the I thought Dave was going to be here tonight, but to adopt the New York State Building Code, I think is what we're doing. So you want to report on that? You want me to, or what do you
want
to do?
If you want to.
Okay, so the gist of the meeting was we kind of went through the items that were in that 400-page building code and looked at what we had in our building code. And I know it was suggested that we could just adopt the building code and that would cover it, but Dave didn't feel that that was appropriate. I kind of agree with him, because when people come in and they want to do something, they want to look at, you know, how everything flows and what they can do and what's, you know, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, things like that. So I think the best way to approach it is to integrate the portions of the New York State Building Code that apply to us or may have some application to us, and integrate it with our building code, so that when somebody comes in and wants to do something, they can just review our building code and everything would be covered in that. That was my thought on it. You want to add anything to that? Or?
No, they had some weird stuff in there, like the tree sap stuff and stuff we would never...
Which we will not address in our building code. Because if there's anything that's in there that, you know, is not applicable to the village, then we're not going to include it. But anything that they have that's, you know, more stringent than what the village has and is applicable to the village, then, you know, we'll just include it in ours, or if we don't have it at all, if we don't address it, we'll address it.
So what supersedes? If the village has one rule and the state book says another, who's...
I think the state oversees state rules.
The village can be more strict.
It can't be less strict.
Can't be, right.
And so in other words, this stuff's not already covered in that 100 page 120 zoning that we updated last 2 years ago?
Right. Well, the state just came out with this.
Now we have to change
the
all
state
that.
Modified the building code.
Yes,
they
modified the building code. Now we have
that?
To
like
update ours. Yes.
I mean, do we have a lot of changes we have to make? Because that was really
yet.
Expensive to
well,
codify.
We're working on it. It's a work in progress.
Well,
it's a work in progress.
It's just a few things the state added that we don't have covered, you mean?
Well, yeah, kind of. But we're going through it and we're trying to determine what we have to cover and what we don't need to cover, and we'll come up with a list, and then we'll figure out how to integrate them, and then we'll send it out to be recodified.
I mean, if we have to use both books anyways, though, I don't understand why we would combine them with the village and spend the money to codify.
We don't have to use both books.
I mean, if we didn't have something in ours, we would go to the state book, right?
Well, we would, but the issue is if somebody came in and wanted to build something in the village,
uh-huh.
and, you know, say for instance, they wanted to build a house and put solar on it,
okay.
and we don't address solar, but the state does address solar.
But we do. We adopted
well,
New York
I know,
solar
but I'm just
a
saying,
long time ago.
I'm just using this as an example.
Okay, so that's an example.
So they come in and, you know, and they decide that, well, it's not addressed, so I can do whatever I want. And then they build something, and then, you know, it doesn't comply with the state.
Well, I thought the building Kevin, if we didn't have something, he automatically went to the state book and made sure things were covered that way.
So. I'm sure he does.
So that's what I'm saying, we're already using both. I don't know, it's just something, it's a lot of money to recodify. That was like $7,000 just to do that one section.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's worth it, if it's not a lot in there that we really need to have in our village part, we're gonna go to the New York book anyways. I would thought that's what he was doing.
Well, we're, right now we're trying to figure out what it is we need to include and what we can leave out. And then we'll, we only had one meeting, so.
Is there a time frame?
I don't think there is. I mean, it's, you're supposed to do it as.
By the end of the calendar year, or at least adopt the new code.
Is that, so it should have been today? Yeah, that ain't.
For us, right, which wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Can we at least adopt the code?
No, well, we wouldn't be able to today because you gotta do it by local law.
Right, but maybe at the next meeting.
Right.
Well, I think we should take the time to do whatever we gotta do. I mean, we just got this like a month ago.
Dave's recommending that. I mean, far as I know, most municipalities, they do the same thing. They have their own local code. And then they just adopt the state code, and your building inspector has, you know, your local code. If it supersedes the state code, they use that. And if your local code doesn't address it, they default back to the.
Yeah. Well, we'll take a look at that too. Maybe that is the way to go then. We'll see how. But there's more meetings to come, so.
It's a big undertaking to try to write your own building code.
Mm.
Because there's like 6 books.
Yeah, but we discovered some other issues that there weren't any penalties and stuff in our code either.
Correct.
That need to be adjusted.
Right, and the Uniform Building Code doesn't cover penalty and violation, so that is something you want in yours.
Right. So. All right, so anyway, it's a work in progress, but we are working on it, and just wanted to let everybody know.
It's related, but that point about the penalties, do those don't have to be, we could make those like a fee sheet, or does that have to be in the law too?
Well, the fees are by resolution. The penalties, I think, have to be codified.
Right, the codification has to be the enforcement process and the how that somebody could appeal it and all that stuff.
Right, but that's.
The fine itself is based off of a local resolution.
Okay. So is it that we don't have fines addressed? Or
I think you do now, right? You just have to recodify them. Is there fines now? There's fines, right? If you can cop a building up without a permit.
I'm not sure. I have to look.
Okay.
But these are the things that we're looking at.
Right.
But I know there were some, when Dave, we talked about it, Dave thought that we needed to, and Kevin did too, we needed to update that part.
And Kevin is a great resource because he, you know, certainly has multiple towns that he does.
You know, I mean, I was involved, obviously, I was involved in the other process, and I just wonder why, you know, this didn't come up then.
Mm.
Like, the people who are enforcing it, wouldn't they know that they need to have enforcing language in the.
Well, there is enforcing language. Let me just bring it up here.
Yeah, I was under the impression we just had to adopt that 1203 section. I didn't realize that we're going to make us readopt the whole building code.
Section 1203?
Yeah, I think. Is that the right one, Julie, right?
I'm just putting some notes down, so I wanted to get that section.
120.
That's our section, 120.
Yes. Criminal penalties, civil appearance tickets, okay, so 120.93 is violations and penalties. Mm-hmm. it's $200 a day in civil penalties. And any person who violates any provision of this zoning chapter shall be liable for a civil penalty of not more than $200 a day. Civil penalties provided by the subsection shall be recoverable in an action instituted by the village. Criminal penalties, $250 a day, fine not exceeding $250 a day, where each, so I guess we do have it in there. I don't know.
They're just not enforceable.
Well, it is. It's in the law. It's in the law. It should be.
Well, I get that, but just like with what happened with Mobile Station, you know, we had tons of money that I tried to re-levy for them twice, and they wouldn't take it. So we're never going to see that money. If they allow us to re-levy it when people don't pay these fines, that would be different. But
well, I think we have to go get a lien on the property or something. But I don't know. Like I say, we just had the one meeting. We were talking about it. We're trying to decide which way to go. There's more meetings to come. And we'll try to get it done as quickly and efficiently as possible.
Yeah, you can't just adopt it as is. There's a whole bunch of changes and stuff you have to omit if you don't want it.
To the 1203 section.
Yeah, there were two. Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of stuff in there that.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Like the Sugar House stuff and.
Well, it come down and it said if you're going to adopt everything in this law, then you do A, and if you're going to pick and choose, then you do B. So there were some choices to be made. But anyway. But we haven't done anything yet, so we'll keep you up to speed on that.
Speaking of the mobile, was there any movement? I know last time
nothing
we talked, somebody was interested.
I haven't heard.
I know
anything.
We kind of tabled what since that plan.
I think we should. I don't know. I think we should proceed, really, but get it cleaned up. I don't know. What do you guys think? Or you want to just table it for now?
When you say clean up, what do you mean?
Well, there's grants. Rich was saying there's grants out there to do the cleanup.
Well, I think the last option when we looked at was there is a current owner. And what would happen is if we deferred it to DEC, because there are outstanding issues, and because it's been vacant, DEC actually can require that the tanks be removed, and part of removing the tanks is to do the soil evaluation, determine if there's any leaks. And when I was talking to the DEC guy, he said what would happen is, since it's been vacant so long, if we referred that to them, they would issue a notice of abatement to the current property owner that they have, you know, X number of days to remove the tanks and comply. If they fail, then DEC will come in with their contractors, and they will remove the tanks and do that remediation and put it against the levy it against the property. The property appears that it's going to be in foreclosure. The county can take it at now if they wanted to. The county is choosing not to, because if they own it, then they're responsible. So the county's basically kind of sitting and hoping that someone takes it over.
And we can't take it until it goes to the county.
We could take it, so
once
when I talked
to
Bill, and of course now Deborah's gonna be in charge, but if we sent a letter basically saying we are interested in this property, then the village or the county would move forward, take possession, and give it to us.
And we would inherit
inherit the problem that potentially exists there.
And if we call in the, turn them into DEC. DEC does it, puts a lien on the property, and then we take it from the county. We still have the lien.
Potentially, that lien, we don't know how that lien would work after the county forecloses on it, if that lien sticks with the property or if that lien is just eaten up because it's foreclosed. I don't know that answer. That's more of a legal question.
So are we going to get to clean it up with grants, though, if we take it over?
No.
Well, I mean, the DEC would clean it up.
When the DEC guy mentioned the grants, but when he looked into it more, we wouldn't, the only way those, the idea of those grants is if we as a municipality were buying it to clean it up with the intention to resell. That's what the grant is. It's about rejuvenating the property. So if the idea is that we are gonna buy it, we were gonna keep it, we were gonna turn it into green space or parking or something like that, those grants don't apply.
Okay.
So can we attempt to get legal advice on whether that lien goes away? Because if that lien goes away, then
it's a win-win.
It's, yeah.
Right, because they already cleaned it up by going against the other guy.
Honestly, if we weren't even taking the property, I think the biggest hindrance to buying, well, there's a couple, but one of the biggest hindrance to buying that property is no one in their right mind is gonna buy a gas station that's been vacant for 10 years knowing the tanks are there. It may make that tank more sellable, and even the lien on the property is still might be worth the value of the property to somebody to now buy it.
Right.
Yeah, because you know what you're getting.
Because it'll be cleaned up.
Correct. So getting it fixed doesn't mean that it opens the door for us. It might even just open a door that someone's now willing to buy it, knowing that.
But if we sell it, do we get to keep the money?
No.
Or do we have to
When I talked to Bill, if the county gives us the property, and he was very vague in this, that technically, if we flip the property, we would owe the county back their lost revenue.
Okay, so
back taxes,
we would have to
stuff.
Sell it for above and beyond.
But Bill said, like, if you held it for, like, 3 years,
right.
The county's not even going to remember it after 3 years, and if you sold it, the county's not coming back.
So we potentially could keep the money.
So it's the first order of business to
let the county go out
deal with the DEC?
That's kind of the thought is, right, and it does a couple things. We don't have to take the property, but if we start that path of getting the property cleaned up, it may make it more inviting.
I think we should.
I think
commercial,
we should
someone else to buy it.
I think we should. I think we should move and get the property cleaned up, and then even if we don't end up with it, if somebody else buys it, that's fine too.
Yeah, it'd be a nice piece for somebody with free and clear problems.
Yeah.
Right, it could get it back on the tax rolls.
Yep.
So what do we have to do to get that started?
I'll go against that guy. I'll reach out to the DEC officer. I just got to give them the owner's information.
All right.
And then they'll run it from there.
All right.
Sounds good.
And they'll assess everything and provide.
That'll all be DEC. They give you a clean bill of health at the end.
Well, that sounds good.
So should we do a motion or something to refer that to the DEC for a report on contamination and whatever?
Well, I would make the resolution that we refer the property to DEC for removal of the tanks.
Okay, well, sounds good. Any questions on the motion?
So Rich is making the motion?
Yep. Guy second?
Rich.
Any questions?
We made the motion. Can you just tell me that one more time?
That we will refer the property to DEC for removal of the tanks.
Okay, thank you.
They'll do the whole property though. I mean,
they will first reach out to the property owner.
Right.
No, they'll just require, so by law, if a gas station closes, they are required to remove the tanks from the ground.
No, but I mean, as far as the building itself,
they won't touch any of that.
Okay. Not to demolish it, but to test it?
Well, when they remove the tanks, they will test the soil in that area to see if the tanks are leaking.
And there's a bulk oil tank there too. Waste oil.
Correct.
That needs to be removed.
So they'll remove.
So do we,
DEC oversees it. We are out of it.
If we get this started, we don't have to provide them with a scope of work. They do it all?
Nope. So DEC will send a letter, probably several letters, to the owner to get them to do it at their own expense. And then they'll threaten them that if you don't, we will hire our own subcontractor to come in and do it.
And all the letters will come back after the owner. He doesn't have a forwarding.
What's that?
All the letters will come back because he doesn't have a forwarding. Nobody knows his address. Right. I have two addresses and they both come back. But still, they did their due diligence by law to notify him. So then they can just move forward without his permission.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a quick thing. It could be a year from now, but it moves us in that direction because right now it's sat for 10 years.
Oh, more than that.
And no one wants to touch it, and I can't blame them. It's the reason the county doesn't want to take it, because no one wants to be responsible for what's under that ground. There were, did I remember, Bob, how many did I tell you? Seven?
Seven. Mm-hmm.
There are seven spills associated to that property.
Mm. Now, how do you know that?
When I was working with DEC, they pulled the records for that property. There are seven, they actually gave me each spill number. Now, the severity of that spill could be anything from significant to someone was filling their car and dumped more than a gallon of gas on the ground. Because that's a reportable spill.
All right. Any other questions or discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried. All right, Urswama service agreement. Okay, Charlie, this is yours, right? Extension of the agreement with Solid Waste Management.
It's renewed every year.
Oh, so is this, this is Urswama, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, so this is just our dues thing?
It's just our membership. Is
annual
renewed.
Agreement.
Annual agreement is renewed every year before the end of December.
Okay.
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Rich.
Second.
Second by Charlie. Questions on the motion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried. All right, so the next motion, the next resolution is for to adopt a standard allowance for revenue loss. So in the final Treasury rule, the Treasury instituted for small government entities that received COVID money, I guess, for lack of anything else to call it. If it's less than $10 million, you could adopt what they call a standard allowance. You just make a declaration that you lost money as a result of revenue as a result of COVID. And we had lost money in the courts when they closed the courts down. We lost all of the fine revenue that was generated by the court. So we could take the standard allowance, and we don't have to provide any paperwork or anything for it. We just have to adopt a resolution for the standard allowance, as I understand it and spoke with Dave about. This is what I was gonna have him explain, but pretty much that's what it is. So the resolution is, whereas the village has received coronavirus state and local fiscal recovery funds from the federal government, and whereas the village has determined to use these funds for permissible purposes as set forth in the law and the Treasury regulations promulgated thereon under, and whereas the Secretary of the Treasury has promulgated certain rules and regulations in the governing of said program and has determined that the final rule municipal recipients will be permitted to elect a standard allowance as the amount of funds they can be used to fund government services. Whereas the standard allowance is set at $10 million for the entire period of performance, therefore, be it resolved that the Village of Nassau hereby elects to make a one-time irrevocable election to use the standard allowance rather than the revenue loss formula. And I would make that motion.
Second.
Second by Guy. Questions?
So this means we would get $10 million?
No.
I was going to say, the way it reads is we're taking $10 million.
Now, if it's less than $10 million, you could take the standard allowance if you received less than $10
million. Okay.
We received $112,157.
Okay. $10 million sounds better. But
yes,
we'll take $112,000.
But that's all we get is $112,000.
So that means we don't have to demonstrate that we lost $112,000.
Right, and we don't have to tell them what we're spending it on either.
As long as it's permissible.
As long as, yes.
Well, if it's for revenue loss, you can use it to fund normal operations.
Yeah.
because it's a revenue loss.
Okay.
But I think we've already decided we're not really going to use it for that, but, and I will talk about that in a minute. But anyway, so this just gets down to having to fill out paperwork for everything we spend this money on and submitting it into the treasury. Because it's well below the standard allowance.
All right, so we don't have to do that because we're doing this resolution.
Right.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, and Wendy will take care of notifying the treasury that we did this, and then we'll be all done with them.
Sounds good.
All right, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion is carried. So what I would like to, so we should talk about what we want to do with it. And I think we've talked about a lot of it already. So, I mean, my thought is, so we have three areas that we talked about spending this money on. One was on the water project that we just did, and setting some money aside for others that may come about. Second is to refurbish the playground at Ben Stanley Park. And the third is to have some money in our streets budget to, you know, for that kind of infrastructure. Now, all three of those items are permissible items to use this money for. So we're not, you know, either way, we're not in violation of anything. So what I think is we should take, and this is just me, you guys can chime in, I think we should put 50% of it into the water fund and 50% of it into the general fund. And the general fund we should split and put, you know, maybe, do we have an idea what it's going to cost to do Ben Stanley Park?
Nope.
No? Well, I was thinking, well, let's put, say, you know, 20 grand into parks and the balance 36,000 and change into streets.
And we haven't got a bill yet from Keller.
We haven't got a bill from Keller, but there's only like 100, it's not going to be $50,000, I wouldn't think. You know, but there's only like 112,000, you know, $1,800 left in the transmission EQ there, not the equipment, CE. There's $13,000 in CE, so that's the contractual piece. So there's, you know, I think the bill's going to be more than $13,000 though. But I think we should put half of it, 56 grand, in there, and then that should give us a little bit of a cushion in case something else happens. Maybe. Hopefully nothing will, but
we have this money already?
Oh yeah.
Where does Wendy have it at?
Yeah, Wendy's got it.
Where is it at?
It's set aside right now because it was,
it's not in the
right. Once we adopt this budget, we can bring it into the general fund and then we can distribute it where we want it. And we don't have to distribute it tonight if you don't want to, but I mean, I figure we might as well give Wendy all of her marching orders and be done with it. But in the Parks and Recreation area, we have, we don't have much left there either. There's like,
it's negative.
Well, it's negative $913 already because we bought the lights there. So, you know, I think we should put, you know, 20 grand in there. That'll leave us 19,000 to refurbish the park over there, and hopefully that'll be enough. And then in the streets repair, which is the, we got 13,000 left in there. That's the general repairs. You know, so we'll put the balance, which is 26,000, I think, if I did my math is right, 26,078.50. Would go in there, and that would bump that up to, you know, 39. Then if there's anything left at the end of the year, we can roll that over into the capital fund for streets. Start getting that built back up. Anyway, that's my suggestion. So anybody else want to chime in on that?
Makes sense.
Sounds good to me.
All right, so then...
The only question is, since we didn't get the money, though, for the other project...
We have the money.
No, not that money.
The CDBG.
Yeah, the grant money.
Mm-hmm.
And we still can use the TAP money. We don't wanna use that money toward our project?
Well, we can, I mean, we can...
All right, I'm just saying, do you guys think about that? We still have that project.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that $112,000 doesn't really carry that 1.2 million.
Doesn't do anything for us, okay.
Very far.
Well, we're gonna have to cut our project by some...
I mean, if we end up, you know, funding that in-house, then, you know, it comes out of, we can still move stuff, more monies around.
No, but even to get the TAP award, don't we have to pay for it ahead of time first, and then they reimburse us 80%? So where are we getting the money to pay up to that 2.4 million from the TAP money? We're gonna have to find money for that, too.
Well, yeah, but I think that flows...
You know, we won't need to come up with 2.4 all at once.
Right.
We just have to pay for it ahead of time, correct?
Right, so if you get a bill for $100,000, you put in a bill for $100,000, you pay them that, and then...
All right.
You get reimbursed, and then it goes back in the fund.
All right. As long as we get to use the $2 million something.
So then, what we're saying...
I was just gonna say, these numbers are kind of, it's the streets versus, general fund versus water fund, because we just don't know how much the park is gonna cost.
Well, we don't. We don't know how much it's gonna cost, but it's probably gonna cost $15,000 to $20,000, I would think.
Say more.
I would think, yeah.
I would think at least.
It might be more than that.
Yeah.
I would say more like $25,000-$30,000, but...
Yeah.
But, you know.
Depends on what you do.
Depends on what we do, yeah. If you get one of those big things.
I think once you start, you gotta bring it up to code.
I agree, that's why I think it...
Uh-huh.
That means we're gonna have to dig it out, we're gonna have to put all that rubber stuff in. And, you know, and then we'll get new, have to get new toys for the kids. And I mean, we could save some money if we can, you know, put a work party together and do it. Or do it in-house, you know, rather than hiring a contractor to come in and do it. But that's really the only savings that I can see where we could save. I mean, we've got the equipment, we've got the people, and, you know, if we can get a few volunteers to help out, we'll be in good shape. I mean, what do you wanna do with the money? Do we wanna split it up, or do we not wanna do that now? I think we need to put some money in the frickin'... I think we should at least split it general versus water, so that when the bill comes in from Keller, we can pay.
Wait.
True.
And can't we just leave the 50% in the general fund, and then once we have an estimate on the parks, we could use it out of that?
Yeah, we could do that. Yeah, that's fine. We don't have any pressing things coming up on streets or anything anyway, so...
Right.
So then I'll make a motion that we split the COVID money, 50% to go to the water fund and 50% to go to the general fund.
Second.
Second by Julia. Any questions? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, motion...
What numbers are there?
The numbers?
Yes.
It's $56,078.50.
No, I mean...
The account funds?
Yeah, accounts.
Well, we didn't put them in accounts, we just put them in general and water.
That's all I have to tell Wendy?
That's why I was gonna put it in account numbers.
Yeah, because I don't have line numbers for the general.
All right, so 50% should go, in the water fund, should go to the contractual transmission one. So that's gonna be...
Yeah, I think that's better for us to do that.
Gonna be.
So let's see.
8340.4.
AD340F, okay.
And then the other one, we'll just put it in the general fund that we determine where we want to put it.
It's like unappropriated balance.
Unappropriated balance, yep. Okay, you all set with that, Missy?
Yep.
All right. Entertained a motion to pay the bills number 198 through 238 in the amount of $23,910.77 in the general fund and $36,776.26 in the water fund and $28,124.82 outside of abstract.
Make the motion.
Motion by Guy.
Second it.
Second by Rich. Questions on the bills? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anybody had anything they wanted to bring up before we close up?
Yeah. I just want to thank everyone for their help for the Christmas tree lighting, those that participated. It was fun, nice night. We had a lot of people.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good turnout.
Great.
Yeah. Okay, and I just want to wish everybody happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we'll see you all next year. Adjournment's in order.
Motion.
Motion by Julia, second by Charlie.